Hello and welcome once again to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today we take a look at a pair of incentive programs that have come out of Cisco Canada in recent months. Cisco partners know well that the company puts a bunch of carrots in front of partners to encourage them to go in a way that it's hoping they'll go. And most of those carrots come in the form of profitability-boosting programs, incentives to be aligned with Cisco's master plan, as it were. Mark Collins, Vice President of Cisco Canada's partner organization, joins us on today's podcast to share details of the new lead conversion incentive and joint value incentive, a couple of made in Canada add-ons to the larger opportunity incentive program and teaming incentive program, respectively. Mark will explain what each of these two programs are about, essentially rewarding partners who are leading in their demand generation activities and in meeting Cisco's customer success goals, respectively. He shares how the team came up with these programs and the roadmap for making them part of Cisco Canada's partner experience. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. Lead conversion incentive and joint value incentive with Mark Collins. Mark, thanks once again for taking the time.
Glad to be here, Rob, as always.
Those who have been around Cisco or worked in the Cisco channel know there's no shortage of incentives programs. The OIPs, TIPs, SIPs, VIPs, so many different programs along those notes. But most of those programs historically have sort of come down from on high and are enterprise-wide or region-wide. You've been doing some interesting things on the incentive partner programs here in Canada.
Yeah, we have, Rob, and thanks for bringing that up. I know we had the chance to share some of the things that we're piloting at Partner Summit. Mm-hmm. So, I appreciate you asking about that. And two things that I want to really focus on, and their roots are in programs that are quite well known, OIP and TIP. OIP being our program that reflects when partners hunt for opportunities that we are currently not in our view, and recognizing them with profitability through deal registration. And the second was TIP, which is our teaming incentive program, which was more focused on our account teams having the ability to reach out with specific partners and seeking to work together on a particular opportunity, and in doing so, making sure that they were profitable along the way. So once again, offering up deal registration to be profitable. So in a nutshell, the two things that we're doing, let me just start with why we're doing it and then color in a little bit about what we're doing. So why we're doing it is, as you know, those programs have some pretty deep roots. And they were born in a time when the vast majority of the business that we did really looks like our resale business through a variety of different partners. And along the way, the market is shifting. We have cloud economics that have been brought to bear. We have a lot going on in managed services. And we certainly have messaged very strongly to our partners over the past 2 years how we're leaning hard on CX, long form being customer experience, and really focusing on more on how we can work with them to retool their businesses to better help customers realize what technology does versus just buying it for what it is, i.e. outcomes. So what does that mean? It means that our partners along with us are transforming, and to transform you have to invest. In order to invest, you need to make sure that you're creating the pools of dollars to make those investments. So this is all about improving on profitability for our partners and ensuring that they're well-positioned to invest with us in their businesses to make the transition. So when you think of OIP, what we're experimenting with OIP is, in the past it represented hunting, but I'd say the thing that got left out along the way is a lot of our partners, before the deal is actually hunted, if it were, there's the idea of actually planting the seeds of awareness and engagement, which really starts with marketing. So we launched the lead conversion incentive. And what this is about, Rob, is really having our partners be able to register with us the fact that they're going to be running a demand gen activity, and that could be anything from like a CIO roundtable to a digital outbound campaign, but put on our radar that they are going to launch an outbound campaign really to drive awareness and engagement around the technology, register that with us so there the preliminary registration occurs, and in doing so, when they actually convert that into an opportunity, reflect that as a hunted opportunity, and thereby yield close to double the actual original deal registration value we had under OIP. So we're ensuring that they're getting recognized both for the investments they've made to raise the bar of awareness engagement and pull it through to an actual deal that we can get registered in our tool set. And we call that the lead conversion incentive. Make sense?
It does, and that's sort of across the stack. It sounds like it's a way to sort of encourage and reward partners to up their marketing game.
Absolutely, and there's so much going on in technology right now. It's mm-hmm. it's a war for attention out there, attention and clicks, because we know digital plays a big role in awareness as one tactic among a number. And anything and everything we can do to make sure that our partners understand that we know that these things don't happen without effort, investment, and engagement, and that we recognize them for that, because our story needs to get told, and what better way to tell it than through our partners, with whom we do almost all of our business. Well over 90% of our business actually comes through our partners.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just shift to the second pilot that we're experimenting with right now. That's what we
Please.
Call... JVI, which stands for Joint Value Incentive. So where was that born? I talked earlier about TIP, T-I-P, our Teaming Incentive Program. And the challenge with TIP that we had is the terms of TIP, both our partners and our account managers who you know work together on business every day, they were struggling with clarity around how do they land on when the right time is to actually land on the TIP. So we found that program, while it was a good idea, I would say the utilization wasn't where we wanted it to be, and when we went back and sat with our field and sat with our partners, the same answers bubbled to the surface, and that was there just wasn't the clarity around when the value was being added and how to actually go about applying that program to make sure it made sense from both sides. So what we did is we experimented with two things. Number one is clarifying what value represented. So we created an actual, think of it as a list, a checklist of sorts, where we publish it now for our partners so they can sit with our account managers and together they can sit in a room and talk about the opportunities that they want to work on together and literally work through the checklist together so they can both clear what's expected from one another and account for that and be awarded for extra discount points by checking off the things that are deliverables within that list, making sure it's recognized on both sides and reflecting the extra discount protection for them and executing the items on the list. So that is something that we've done to both create clarity, but also we've made sure that the list has enough elements to it. So there's a path to go beyond their traditional amounts for JVI and basically double the amount of what TIP was worth. It's not guaranteed that they get to double the amount. As I said, they have to work their way through the list together, but there is the opportunity to work on that list together, deliver the value available in the list that's mutually understood, and effectively double the registration value to once again drive up profitability and ensure that the account managers are both, you know, financially doing well in the opportunity, but also we're creating a profitability capability for the partner to be able to reinvest in the business for tomorrow and the transitions we're talking about with things like CX.
Are those list items that partners work through, are those sort of a standard set, or is it case by case, or somewhere in between, i.e., in a given technology stack or business stack, there's a set for each.
It is a consistent list, and it speaks to things that are required in order to create some of the more complex opportunities that some of these account managers work on, around things like proof of value, developing a CX plan. Basically, the various elements where you'd see it moving from a velocity-type motion to something more of a value or a solutions-type model. So things that you're doing to both showcase the technology, prove that it works, prove that you have a plan to get it adopted. And this, the list really unpacks itself in areas like that so that the account managers can sit and work through those things because they know on both sides that the things that need to be done in order to be successful, and then it comes down to if the partner in a position and prepared to do them, to make sure we're maximizing our chances for success together, but they're being rewarded for the effort they have to put in and the cost that they have to take on in order to do those things.
And this comes back to what you were saying earlier about the CX side of things, and as much as the other program is about rewarding kind of partner marketing expertise and getting that part of the game together, this sounds like it's about rewarding partners who are investing and furthering their skills in that customer success, customer experience kind of field.
Absolutely. I mean, when people ask me what I do and think about what I do, it's really about creating a very healthy economy for us to commercialize and monetize technologies for our mutual customers, us and our partners, for our customers. So Canadian companies can, you know, digitize themselves, be more competitive. Same with communities, can digitize to be more compelling, safer, more competitive, and ultimately move forward. And in order to do that, companies need to have a healthy balance sheet. They need to be able to run a healthy business to continually reinvest in their skills and in their people and in their infrastructure and in their practices. And you can't do that without running a profitable program. This is about making sure we're doing that in a way our partners can understand and leverage.
All right. Now, both programs, as I understand it, are in pilot. What can you tell me about sort of the experience so far in getting them out there, lessons learned, how it's been picked up in the channel, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I would say, so first of all, we went into it eyes open because we didn't come up with this on our own. As I said, we consulted with both of our field and our partners and made sure that we were listening to both sides and getting a match in terms of what made sense. So the nice thing is, Rob, going out into market with these ideas, it didn't come out as a surprise because it was basically a reflection of showing that we listened and bringing back to them what we heard. So I would say because of that, the initial response has been well received. The partners like the ideas that we're experimenting with, the reasons why we're experimenting with them, and the opportunity it creates for them. We got out the door first with LCI, and we're seeing nice, healthy uptake. Our partners were seeing them lean in harder on demand creation and marketing activities because they recognize not only are we calling out the fact that these are needed to make sure customers understand the next wave of technologies coming at them, but it actually pays off to do so. So we're seeing LCI pick up quite nicely, and we're just getting JVI out the door right now. So it's early to say. Once again, it wasn't done in a vacuum, so it was a team effort to come up with the checklist that I described. So the early signals are they like the fact that it's clear, published, and accessible to all of them. The next steps are really to prove it by using it because it will be as valuable as it's being used. And as I said, we're just getting started with JVI, but I expect to hear a lot more in the spring and look forward to our next podcast to give you an update.
Sure. What is sort of the lifespan or life cycle look like from here? Do you anticipate these sort of becoming full-time members of the program? And is there a chance that this sort of expands beyond the borders of Canada?
Well, I'm not going to speak for the rest of Cisco, but I'm sure that the global organization is watching and curious because Canada is a great place to go and try and experiment with new things. We've got an incredibly creative team here and very receptive and aggressive partners that want to go out and grow together. So what I would say is the good news is the roots of these programs are in things that have been well established in OIP and TIP. We're not switching those off because we've got these pilots going. We're leaving them on because the circumstances may mean that just the older programs are still just the best ones to use in particular scenarios. But Rob, ideally, if these things get good uptake, the partners like them, they actually contribute to us growing our top lines and our bottom lines together, that they would be there for the duration and ultimately maybe give some feedback back to the bigger Cisco where these programs can evolve to in the next step for other parts of Cisco.
Very cool. How often at Cisco do we see these kinds of programs emerge in a given market or a given geography, rather than kind of coming from from the global partner organization?
I would say the global organization is certainly always there to deliver the foundation and the structure for what the programs are, the guiding principles behind what the programs are intended for, and many times the actual rule set under which they're going to be operated. I would say every country has its business climate and its business rule set where there's always the finishing touches of how they need to be landed on in any country. I don't think we're looking to create 100 different Ciscos. I think we want one Cisco so programs can be implemented and companies that have footprints all over the world can have a consistent experience. But at the same time, I think Cisco is a company that encourages creativity. And if an idea can be brought forward and tested in a particular market, whether the ideas we're coming up with, we've seen some fabulous work going on in Australia, working with consulting type companies that we're beginning to experiment with a little bit more in Canada. We've seen some fabulous work going on in Europe in the past when I was running marketing and some of the great work they were doing around developing demand generation programs and experimenting with digital. I think Cisco is the kind of company that always wants to ensure that they have the trust and the confidence of our customers and partners that we're bringing a global platform to the table. But equally, we never, ever want to stifle people's creativity in terms of if there's an idea that can be tested, obviously we want to make sure that the, you know, the bigger company is aware of it, that everyone's on board in terms of if it's a good idea and makes sense to go and try, and if it makes sense in a market that we can expand it. I think the company is very encouraging of creativity, but not at the expense of destabilizing it into global platforms, because that trust and stability, that's the promise we have to our customers and partners, and we can never forget that.
All right. I'm sure you've been keeping your partners well informed on the rollout of these programs, but in case there are some folks out there who are just hearing about them for the first time and want to find out a bit more, what's the best path for a partner to learn more about the two new programs?
I think the easiest and best path is any and every partner that has a partner account manager assigned to them, by all means, reach out to your partner account manager. We've already run a number of trainings and webinars on these things, so the word should be out. Mm-hmm. But your partner account manager has all the tools that they need to absolutely share with them. And if there's any concerns in terms of who your partner account manager, you can certainly reach out to your distributor of choice. They've also been educated on these programs, and we can make sure either directly or through our distributors, we can get you trained up on the programs. Worst comes to worst, call me. You can email me, call me at Cisco, and I'll make sure that I connect you with the right party.
All right, perfect. If necessary, go all the way to the top.
Sure. Happy to help.
I appreciate your taking the time once again, and I look forward to hearing about these programs as they come full life cycle and see where they go from here. Thanks again for taking the time, Mark.
Always a pleasure, Rob.
There you have it, a look at lead conversion incentive and joint value incentive from Cisco Canada's Mark Collins. I'd like to thank Mark for joining us for the podcast, thank Cisco Canada for its ongoing support of the site, and, of course, thank you for joining us for the show. We'll be back again tomorrow as we continue the New Year's podcast series, this time taking a look back at 2019 and previewing 2020 with DNH Canada's dynamic duo of Roy Rivers and Randy Churchill. In the meantime, we'd appreciate it if you take a moment to leave us a rating in your podcast app of choice, and of course, you can subscribe to the podcast in either Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.